Moncrief on News Talk.
If you consider how much of your life you devote to the 9 to 5, how much you will devote, the very thought of that is exhausting. Enter a new or newish idea called micro-retirements, which apparently are different to sabbaticals. To explain that difference, we're joined by the author and career psychologist Sinead Brady. Afternoon, Sinead.
Hello, Sean. How are you?
So could you tell us exactly how this works?
Yeah, so micro-retirements are these really strategic pauses that people are taking in their career. And they can range anything from a couple of months to years. And the aim of them is to really, you know, decide what is next for you in your career. And it is to look at, am I going to go and stay in the same role? Am I going to recover perhaps from a health issue? Am I going to recover from a mental health issue? So it's about taking this really strategic span in your career or pause in your career. And it's almost like you're taking time to, instead of having your retirement all at the end of your career, you're having these pauses throughout your career so that, you know, you're doing and experiencing different things across the course of your career rather than waiting until you're 65 or 70 to do so.
So what's the difference between that then and a sabbatical?
Yeah, so that's a great question because they're very similar. The only thing is that a sabbatical is typically structured and it's organised with your employer and sanctioned by them. So an employer will say, you know, we're offering a sabbatical and your role is here when you come back. Whereas this is where the individual is taking control and they are making the decision themselves. So it's a person-led and often the organisation or the employer is not actually involved in the structure of it or in the sanctioning of it.
So they leave their job?
Yeah, some do. So many just decide, look, I'm actually just going to take this year and I'm going to explore, I'm going to recover and I'm going to do. So there's loads of different things that people do in these times. But for some people, it is just to regain a sense of autonomy over their career and control over their career. For others, it is, you know, I've always had this interest and I've wanted to try it, so I'm going to do that. And then for others, they're like, you know, I just need some financial stability, but I don't actually want to be in the 9 to 5 grind. So they do something that is a little bit less pressurized, that allows them to explore something that they wouldn't have gotten the chance to do so while they're in the always on workplace. And it just gives an opportunity to unwind ever so slightly.
So they do leave their job and then they have to go looking for another job in like a year's time or whatever.
Yeah, but if it's done properly and if you're quite clever around it, you can be very strategic. And going back to find another job is not an issue. Going back to find another job, you know, within that kind of time frame is very much something that many people are doing anyway, Sean. So they're stepping up and stepping back and they're stepping in to new roles. So people are ebbing and flowing. Once they've had a period of time in their current role, taking time off and going looking for another job thereafter, isn't that daunting, particularly when you're in areas, I suppose, of high skills demand. And it is a market whereby people can find employment relatively easily.
Yeah. OK, so but does that, to be honest, and I'm not being obtuse, I still don't see the difference between this and a sabbatical. Does that push out the time of when they retire? Every time they take a year's micro-retirement, that means they won't be retiring until they're 66, 67, 68 or, you know, whenever their knees buckle.
Yeah, absolutely. So people take the gamble and kind of go, well, actually, I am not going to retire at what might be the traditional age of retirement. I'm going to spread my retirement across the course of my career. And there's a really famous TED talk by a guy called Sagmeister on this. Now, he's a very famous graphic designer, but he actually has decided he's not going to retire and that he's going to take these micro-retirements every 7 years. So at the end of each seven-year period, he shuts his office, gives his employees the option to leave or to stay, but unpaid, in paid employment with him to come back to their role at the end of an extra year. But he's like, no, I'm not retiring. I want to be able to do things during different periods of my life. Now, that's obviously an amazing thing to be able to do. And there's a big queue to become an employee of his. But people want to be able to live their careers in a different way, to have a different flow and tempo than perhaps the 9 to 5. So the idea of being in control of this, and I suppose that's the one key difference between what micro-retirement is and a sabbatical. Micro-retirement is where it's led by you and you are making the decision. It's not sanctioned by your employer and you may or may not negotiate coming back at the end of it, but that's not ultimately why you are doing it. you are doing it because you want to take a break from the role that you're in, the industry that you're in, or the actual function of what you are doing. You might want to explore something else, or you might want just to take a break to get out of the mayhem of the type of role that you have been doing, if it's very, you know, very intense, long hours and high demands.
So,
and yes, it does often lead to having to try to find another job in a year or 2 years or whatever your time frame is. But people that are choosing this don't see it necessarily as an obstacle to doing so, to taking that break.
Though I would imagine, you know, if you're in your 20s and you decide to do that, that's one thing. But if you're in your 30s and you're married and you've children, perhaps, and you want to get a mortgage, that becomes all but impossible to do this.
It becomes a really difficult decision, I suppose, and it's about the type of lifestyle that you and your family are deciding to leave. At that point, your career is very interdependent upon other people, and the notion of making of micro-retirement needs to be a very shared concept within that particular home. So perhaps owning a home isn't a priority for that particular type of family. They might think, well, micro-retirement is something that we can do in the younger years of our children's lives and travel with them. So people are making different decisions based on their needs, their desires, and not necessarily aligning with the notion of a 9-to-5 career that's quite linear, that has to happen kind of across the ages and stages. They're taking this more, I suppose, a more contemporary approach. And I refer to them as curvy, courageous careers. So they're doing things that are different, things that work during different seasons of life, and gives people opportunity to live life while they have a career. So underemployment, unemployment, micro-retirement, they're all going to become words that we become much more familiar with in the workplace.
It strikes me, though, that, you know, if you decide to do this, and good on you if you do, but like when you say hit your 50s, your employment possibilities are reducing then, because you're competing with 30-year-olds who are going to be cheaper and more energetic, and you know, you're not going to be that much better than them because you have so many gaps in your career anyway.
So the gaps, I think, are, again, coming back to this traditional notion of career, is that the only way to gain experience in your career is actually to be in paid employment. And but our skills are transferable from the paid workplace into the unpaid workplace. And women who go on maternity leave, or who take or people who take time out for caring or for other people, they have gaps in their CVs all of the time. And I think we're becoming much more okay with this notion of gaps for whatever the need of the person is. And then the workers, the employers that you kind of want to be working for, are the ones that see skills as transferable. They see your ability to make decisions and to strategically enter and re-enter the workplace. And again, if you are taking a year and you have the financial ability to do that based on your ability to save, that means you can budget. That means you can handle financial, you know, reports and so on. So I think we have to, it's taking a very different look at the world of work and how we operate and have our careers within that world of work. And I think it offers nothing but excitement to have these different opportunities where we see breaks in the world of work and in our careers as not being about, well, this is a gap, but this is actually about a different way of living life. And it might be that we have this way of working together in the future whereby people, it's not about the age that you are, but it's actually about the skills that you bring to the table. And, you know, so I just think that this is offering up a really expansive way of thinking about the world of work and our careers and how we perform our careers within that world of work.
Yeah. Though, I mean, as I'm sure you're aware at the moment, like, because that working from home is all the rage, and now a lot of a lot of employers in Ireland aren't so keen on it anymore. Are employers, would employers look benignly on this? That, you know, we want to employ you as a computer programmer, but you've spent 5 of the last 10 years working in a coffee shop or you know, backpacking around Thailand. How is that going to be advantageous to that company?
Well, it's about the transferable skills again. So if you have the skills, if you've remained upskilled and perhaps you've done gig work, so you might have done contract work, you might have done completely and entirely remote work while you've been away in order to finance yourself. So the idea that micro-retirement equates to not doing any paid work, or perhaps working in something that is just keeping you financially stable, again, is kind of narrowing the lens on it a little bit. It's about different ways of employing and engaging. So you may have done, you may still be stepping into and out of the different roles that you've had, or you may have entirely retrained and upskilled into a different area. So again, I think employers that are looking, and there are brilliant employers out there that are saying, people that have gaps in their CV for whatever reason, these people are still holding a host of transferable skills. They're brilliant people and we can bring them back in. The technical skills of doing a job, again, are being impacted by AI at the moment. So technical skills and what it takes to actually complete a job are only one very small aspect of the majority of roles. We actually have to have that human skill, which is people skills. It's communication, it's talking, it's engaging, it's making information relatable to other people. So that's going to be a much more focused part of roles in the future of work than it currently even is, particularly as the ubiquity of AI begins to impact the jobs that we are doing and the technical skills that are needed to do those jobs.
Sinead, thanks very much for speaking with us today. That was Sinead Brady there, a career psychologist and author. A few comments on that. One texter says, I retrained in my 30s and became an SNA. It was a huge decision and a big financial sacrifice. But 15 years later, I've never been happier, they say. Someone else says, the problem with this is older people doing it find it hard to get work as they age. It's a huge problem. Older people don't have the same situation as they age. Well, I did kind of mention that to Sinead. You kind of heard her answer. Maybe there are some employers who will be much more open to that. Many more that won't be, I would imagine. If you're paying a mortgage, it's just not realistic, says another texter, to not work for a year. How can anyone afford this? We are barely able to scrimp for a holiday. Somebody else says, I took 6 months off after suffering from burnout. It was the best thing I ever did. I had to quit my job in the end because it was so stressful and I couldn't get away from the toxic culture. Yeah, probably a lot of people, even people who mightn't be particularly suffering from burnout, but just are tired, kind of fantasize about doing that. Somebody else wonders, is it just a gap year? Well, you heard Sinead kind of explain what the difference is. And someone else says, micro-retirement, I've heard it all now. I'm on the countdown to retirement and I want there to be nothing micro about it. Good for you.
Moncrief. Weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.